I'm going to try very hard to pull myself together. Please, you men, keep an eye on them in case they want to get up and help them. I'm going to try very hard to put... We're all family, right? So it doesn't matter if God interrupts what we were doing. I'm trying just to let my spirit settle down so I can minister. It's not easy to absorb that glorious bliss, that glorious majesty that He is. It's not easy, you know. One night when we were in the gym, I told all who attended that service, I said, "You think it's so easy to stand up here under all this anointing? I'm going to sit down and you come up here and see who of you could stand." No one stood. It's not easy. But you notice they're not carrying me around quite as much today as they used to have to. The desire of every heart, when it is not quenched by the flesh and the soul, is to live in the light. Not just any light, but to live in the light as He is in the light. Your heart desires it. Your spirit craves it. But the soul is so unruly. The flesh so demanding. Am I right? You guys know all this. Why do we even preach? You know, because we know it all, don't we? We know it. We do know it. And we should know it. We need to know it. How do we get called higher if we don't know it? How many of you have known long time before I got here there was something more and you weren't touching it? See, you know it. Time to go home. Even if you can't put words to it, even if you don't know how to explain it to the Lord, and you don't know how to share it with a friend, you know you're called to something greater. You know you're called to be consumed by Him. I'm telling you, I'm having so many experiences, I'm beside myself. And I've got my dear friend, the pastor, saying, "Don't go there." But what do you do? He was being a dear and precious friend. He didn't want me to go crazy. He didn't want me to get off base. Oh, how I want to get off base and get into the heavenlies and live in the life of the Spirit. When He comes to me like He did tonight, and I'm enveloped. We're family, so you have patience, right? You can just let me work it through till I can get it out my mouth. And I am consumed with Him and the fire of His glory. I'm sorry. Why would I want to come back from that? Why would anyone want to come back from that? Your soul is filled with such light. Your eyes are filled with such light. It is blinding. It's incomprehensible, the brilliance of His glory. And there He is in all of His beauty. And you can barely see Him because the glory is so brilliant. Fire all around. You just want to stand there in it until you're transformed. Do you not? You don't get transformed with your focus on the things of this world. I want to make sure I buy 5 apples at the grocery store. Got to make sure I do this. Got to make sure I do that. You're so taken up in the things of the temporal. There's no time to stand in the glory. Am I telling you the truth? You know it's true, don't you? Jesus mastered it, though. Jesus mastered it. He mastered walking in the light. He mastered walking in the glory. When he was very young, one time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I was surrounded by the glory of the Lord. The light was so brilliant, I could hardly see anything. But in the distance, I saw the Lord. And He was surrounded by a greater brilliance than I was in. And I watched Him as He walked toward me. And when He came to me, He took my hands, and I was transferred into His brilliance. Already, I'm surrounded by a light of glory that is so brilliant I can't see out of it to even know where I am. But when He takes my hand, I am suddenly in the brilliance of the glory so far greater than what I was before. You know, the Bible says, greater than the sun. Greater than the sun. Because you don't know what in the world to compare it with. But I can tell you, that glory makes the sun look yellow. John said, whiter than any fuller can whiten it. There is no way in our language, any language, to describe the brilliance of that unapproachable light. Well, Matthew 6. You know, some people like to pray just because they like to talk. And He's a good one to talk to, right? Some people like to pray because they like to complain and they think God understands. Some people pray because they don't know what else to do. But the lovers of Jesus pray because they want to taste God. They want the lovely living experience of working in fellowship with him. Hearing his voice, experiencing his heart, the fellowship of the Spirit that one experiences in prayer. The desire of one who desires to be transformed into his image is to spiral upward in the ever-increasing revelations of his person. Yes, they want the dreams. Yes, they want the visions. But mostly, they want to know him spirit to spirit. When he weeps, they want to weep with him. When he laughs, they want to share his laughter. When he looks at the past, they want to look at the past with him and share his sorrow or his joys. When he looks at the future, they want to look at the future through his eyes. I think Peter, James, and John missed the most incredible moment in human history when they were given the privilege to share Gethsemane with the Lord. And in their grief, they slept instead of prayed. They could have shared it with him. They could have felt his pain, felt his anguish. They could have experienced the connection with the Father that the Son had at that moment. They could have wept his tears, cried for him. But as it turned out, the Lord had to depend on heaven to intercede. They missed a great moment. Of course, God understood. But they missed a moment that could never be repeated, never again in history. When Jesus is weeping, I don't want to be dancing. When he's dancing, I want to be in his arms. If he's not rejoicing, I don't want to rejoice. I want to share what is on his heart. And those who pray because they want to know him feel the same way. And I bet that fits all of you, doesn't it? When you link your will with his, your prayers will be answered. When you're asking him to link his will with yours, your prayers may be answered, and you may end up even sorry for that answer. To think that Jesus will not answer your prayer if it's not in his will is not accurate, because sometimes he does answer prayers we pray that are not his perfect will, because he's trying to teach us something. And there have been those times when he's come to me and said to me, "Ask me what you will." And you know, he's just so good to me. What could I want, Lord? What could I need? Ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. And at times like that, I always have to say, I don't know what to ask for, because you're so good to me. So you have got to tell me what you want me to ask for. And after we, you know, argue a little bit, he finally relents and gives me what I'm supposed to ask. You know, sometimes he just comes to you and says, I want to bless you. What would you like? What would you ask for? More of you. He's a good God. He's a very good God. Pray therefore like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy be your name. Come with me for just a moment. Over to Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the High and Lofty One, He who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. But with him also, who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit. Listen to those words. There are two places he will dwell. Two. There is the high and holy place in heaven. There can be the high and holy place in you. He will dwell there if you will give him that. Your place, your temple, your tabernacle, your sanctuary, as holy as the one in heaven. Is that the case now? No. You know that because your meditations are not sweet to him. You know that because you judge what you should not be judging. You criticize what you should not be criticizing. You do not yield when you should yield. You make choices of who you're going to love and who you're not. Choices God's not in. You love things more than you should. So for all these reasons, you know your sanctuary is not as holy as the one in heaven. Now, most of the church would say that cannot be anyway this side of heaven. And they believe that because that's what the church has been taught. But that's not true. Be ye holy. How? Would he say that to you if it were not possible? You put that together with this, and what is he saying to us? You make your temple holy as I am holy, and I will dwell in it. That's my promise. So that he will dwell in more than your spirit, but also in your soul. Your soul becomes the tent of meeting, where the Spirit of the Lord comes and never leaves. Listen to this. incredible invitation. I will dwell in a high and holy place. It matters not to him if it is in heaven or in your soul, your temple, your sanctuary. All he wants is a holy place. That's what he wants. He said, seek ye my face. The psalmist said, your face I seek. If he's asking for holy, those who love him want to be holy. How can you want to be less than what he's asking? How can you want to be less than what he's asking? I dwell in a high and holy place. Hallowed be thy name. God is asking for those who love him to create the inner sanctuary, the holy of holies. Do you think for one moment, for even one moment, that when he created the divisions of the court, that he was wanting to limit himself to a building? That was not even part of the plan. He did that out of necessity. But even in his doing, he was crying out in the wilderness. And he gave us examples like Anna and Simeon and John the Baptist. Even then, in the face of this beautiful temple, he had the righteous ones that showed the more perfect truth. He's interested in the temple that is not made with. That is what his heart is set on. And he wants that place to be holy, so he can dwell there. He wants it to be holy, so he can own you. What a splendorous ownership. Everything inside of me is on fire right now. Fire is burning. Because God wants the word to sink deep into your inner man. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling for the people that are willing to go beyond the crowd and to trek their way down. How many could live in the outer court? Many. How many could go into the inner court? Not many. How many could go into the Holy of Holies? Isn't it sad that we're still dealing with the same percentage today? The fire of his word wants to go deep into your soul. And he wants to set your soul aflame for his ownership. He wants the glory. He wants the holiness to surge deep within. It's a living essence. It's part of him. And he wants it to go deep within, to claim the land that belongs to him. The Spirit of the Lord is dealing. He's speaking to you right now. He's trying to help you know what you have to give up. And there are minds shutting it down because of fear.
He might ask something you don't really want to give. Give it! Give it! There's nothing worth losing what he's willing to give. His own personal dwelling. Let everything inside of you run to the fire of his glory. And any part of you that doesn't want to run into the fire of his glory, command it to. Don't allow even part of you to be rebellious. For what he's willing to give is so great. And what he would ask is so small for the great gift.
You sing, he is worthy. Do you mean it? Then bow before the one who is worthy and yield it up. Just yield it up. Quit fighting him. Quit battling with him.
All the fears that keep you churning and burning and indecisive, just turn it over. Let him have his way. Let him ignite the fire. Plead with him to keep it burning until all the dross is gone, all the hindrances are broken, and he is free to live in the temple he created.
You will never be sorry. Will you be sorry? What do you think was happening in the rich young ruler when he cried out to the Lord, "What must I do?"
The same thing that is happening in some of you tonight. That's what was happening in him. What must I do? He was desperate for the answer. But when the Spirit of grace standing before him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ began to count down and reveal the secrets of his heart, the first response was fear.
Because it touched on something he, in his own strength, could not do. But you know what? That man had wisdom. And Jesus said, he's not far.
He didn't know how to make it happen. But he found the answer. And he gave it to Jesus. The Lord is not just wanting your mind. He's not just wanting your heart. He wants to put his finger on the things that are keeping you from having all of him, that are keeping you from being consumed with him. He wants to put his finger on it tonight. And it may hurt, and you may want to withdraw, and you may want to settle down the feelings that you're feeling. It may be uncomfortable to you, and you may even say to yourself, I don't want to come again next weekend. I don't know what this feeling is. It is the Spirit of the living God trying to help you let go of the things you must release
so that he can come into his temple. When Jesus came into the temple, what was the first thing he did? He drove out the money changers.
He even drove out those who were carrying mattresses and household goods through the temple court. And through this, the Lord is saying, get the world out of your heart. The love of things, get it out of your heart. Get it out of your soul. I've got to clean out those things that are intolerable to me,
that I may own the preciousness of the inner sanctums of your soul. I will dwell in a high and holy place. And with those who are of a broken and contrite heart. You may not be as holy as He needs you to be. But when your heart is broken over the world that is in you, that gives Him place to roam. It gives Him place to work. And He will dwell in the part that He can have. And continue working the work to prepare the greater for the glory. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, the hour is coming and it is close at hand. The trials are getting great and they're going to get greater. Many, many trials, many tribulations. Hard times are pressing in. And please don't think that this difficult time is just simply going to come to an end. The trials are pressing in. Why? Because God wants you to know that you're living in a world that is full of corruption. You're living on unstable sand so that you will reach up to Him and purchase that which is eternal, that which cannot be shaken. He wants to show you that what you put your faith in cannot hold you, so that you will lift your hands and you will lift your heart to Him and you will appropriate the gift. We're so dull of mind, so hard of heart, that He has to press our buttons to get us to go beyond ourselves into Him. He has to. If He has to let your whole kingdom fall down around you, be it big, be it small, to own you, and if He knows what you want deep inside is to be owned and possessed of God, He will let the kingdom fall because He loves you enough to want all of you. I cannot tell you tonight that He'll never touch that which belongs to you. He will, if that's what it's going to take to break you free. But He'll only do that if you really want Him. Isn't He a good God? Isn't He a wonderful Father? Isn't He a marvelous Savior? He knows how to save us. He knows how to liberate us. Saving the soul is a most intricate and intimate job. Only Christ knows how to do it. My dear brothers and sisters, if I could take out everything that's inside of me right now and put it in you, so you could feel the love of God that is burning within me for your soul, maybe then you could say yes to Him completely. There's got to be a song, "I Want to Be Owned by Him." Someone had to have written it, don't you think? Pardon me? I don't know that one, but it probably says that. I've got to be owned by Him. If there isn't a song, someone needs to write it. I've got to be owned by Him. Hallowed be Thy holy name. Let Your name be holy in me. Holy is the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, be hallowed in me. Be hallowed in me. And June 21st, standing behind the pulpit, the Lord Jesus Christ came into me, and like waves of the sea, kept pouring over the inside of me. It felt just like I was standing in the ocean and high tide was coming in. And the waves would pour over my soul, and every time the wave would pull back, you know how it is, comes forth, pulls back, comes forth, pulls back. Every time the wave would pull back, more of my soul would go with it. The next wave would pour over me. I'm in the pulpit. As it went back, as it receded, more of my soul went with it. Until there was none of me and all of him. I was gone. I was lost in the ocean of God. It was most wonderful place to be. I tried to teach that night, but every word I would say as I read the scripture, I'd be taken off into the realms of God, and I would see the word through his eyes. I would see the eternity of the truth as he saw it. You don't need books when you're living there. You don't need a theologian to tell you what the Bible means when you are one with the Word of God. Your eyes see deep into the Word, into its true meaning, and you become one with the essence of life. It is the most incredible way to journey through the Bible. I don't know how long I spoke. Many of you who were there that night are here tonight. I don't know how long I spoke. I don't know if it was 15 minutes. I don't know if it was a half hour. I don't know if it was 45 minutes. But every word that came out of my mouth was so filled with the life of God, it became more and more impossible for me to continue. And I finally had to give up and go home. Don't you want more of Jesus? It's not hard, you know. My granddaughter, when she was 6 years old, the Lord began to teach her about life in union. If a six-year-old can learn it and understand it, surely someone of our delicate age can understand it. The torch of the Lord. Pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name in me. I want your holy name, your holy name, to consume my inner being until there is no more me and I am filled with you. Jesus said, pray like this. This is how you are to pray. Tonight, I'm his friend. And I'm reminding you of the words of your master. And I'm challenging you to do what he has said to do. Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you really do it? Can you do it? Will you do it? Will you cry out for the consumption? Jesus is good. I just feel like you need to receive from the Master. But I'm not going to lay hands on you tonight. I'm going to have my colleagues do it.